Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. I am Seth.
And I'm Carly.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Carly, how have you been this past week?
I have been fabulous. In my hole, getting some work done, always much needed to take those little travel breaks. Gearing up for like a 3-week run that includes like Disney World, Disneyland, back to Disney World. So I need to like breathe in between and, you know, binge work, working on some fun projects. But I'm so excited for the coming weeks because there's a lot going on.
Sharpen the saw. You gotta take time to rest your tools. Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, I feel for you. I have also had a theme park free week. I have been locked in my office working feverishly on the unofficial guide to Disneyland 2025, which, believe it or not, gets written in April of 2024, the first draft. So working hard on that, and also had some family in town, so they did not want to go to any theme parks.
But we
did go to the Morse Museum in Winter Park, and it is the world's largest collection of Tiffany glass. So if you are at all interested in stained glass or jewelry, it's an absolutely amazing collection. Highly recommend, check it out. And it's cheap. It's only a few bucks to get.
Awesome. And Winter Park is just lovely.
Oh yeah. We had lunch at a little French bakery on Winter Park. Perfect weather, great people watching. If you've been to Disney World, you have not been to Orlando. Winter Park's a great little kind of suburb of Orlando that's real. Yeah, as opposed to giant cartoon mice.
I know. And I feel like with, you know, like the Michelin guide coming to Central Florida in recent years, it's definitely helped people kind of see outside of the parks. I mean, there's great food at the parks, too. Some of my favorite restaurants are on Disney property.
All due credit to Victoria and Albert's, but we have world-class restaurants in Orlando outside of the theme park districts. They're just an Uber ride away.
So. Exactly. Very easy.
Anyway, without any further ado, let us go ahead and jump right into the news in the queue. We're starting this week at Imagineering in California, where some very lucky folks got a tour recently of Imagineering, and the rest of us can watch it on a new YouTube series called We Call It Imagineering, just debuted on Disney Imagineering's YouTube channel, but it has given us our biggest, longest, most detailed look at the animatronics coming to Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Disney World and Disneyland later this year. And they really look phenomenal.
Right. And it was really fun to see people zoom in on really small little Easter eggs that was in this YouTube series and just point out so many things. So I love kind of the lore that has also come along with this.
If you haven't watched it yet, this first episode, I was expecting just like a little minute or two, but this is a pretty substantial first episode that goes back to the original mechanical bird that Walt Disney himself found in a New Orleans antique store that inspired the Tiki Room and all the animatronics that came. So it was a great little nod to history. And then we get some really detailed views of a bunch of the new animatronics that are coming to the new ride. And if you are one of the people who are creeped out by those video projected faces that they used in things like Frozen Ever After at Epcot and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you are going to love these, because all of these are like the Frozen animatronics that they built for Hong Kong. They've got fully detailed expressive faces, and they're not just static faces where the mouths flap, but they've got great eye expression, lip expression. You got to watch this video and really see how they've taken this with using electronic mechanisms as opposed to hydraulic or pneumatic, as they talk about in the video. They've really been able to take the kind of fine detail and animation to the next level.
Yeah, and it's more, it's more articulate motions, more fluidity. But you may also be creeped out by it too, because it's
we're getting to a little uncanny valley. If these were like realistic human skin on them, then it would definitely be creepy. Yeah. But I think having that kind of cartoonish color palette and smooth texture kind of helps keep them from being too terrifying.
This is a step in the right direction. Finally, we have it. So
absolutely. And another thing to keep an eye out in the background, as you mentioned, people have been pointing out all sorts of Easter eggs in this this first video. One that I think Provost Park Pass pointed out on YouTube, you can see what it looks like to be the Candleman being worked on in the background. And if you are not into Haunted Mansion lore, this is a character that was created by Raleigh Crump for something that was supposed to be the Museum of the Weird that never got built. But there's been a reference to him in the Haunted Mansion holiday. And now it looks like maybe for the new gift shop that they're building at the exit of the ride, maybe we'll finally see a Candleman. So that's a lot. I think people are going to be watching this new series, not just for what they're talking about, but for any little stray detail in the background of shots.
Grab on to.
Yep. And that's not the only animatronic news that Disney has. The BDX droids are back in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. They made a very brief appearance in October of last year. Now they're back, and these are Disneyland only during the season of the Force, which runs now through June 2nd. But you can see them make occasional appearances, and they are so cute.
They're so cute. They do like a little like booty bump dance.
Yes.
I was watching a ton of footage. I'm excited to see them in person in a few weeks. And the times have been added to the Disneyland app I've seen. So
yeah, they've got a personality that's somewhere halfway between a puppy and a chicken, the way they move around. They are not, you know, Disney was kind of in the early publicity, I guess I didn't quite understand. I thought this was like part of some artificial intelligence project and these were autonomous. Because remember way back in the day, Disney promised autonomous robots roaming around Galaxy's Edge. It turns out these are run off of Steam Decks. The people controlling them have little remote controls that have Star Wars shells put onto them, but they're really just Steam Decks, little handheld computers underneath. That they used to remote control them, but they are able to do really cool things like walk on uneven terrain, and they really seem to have a lot of personality.
And just be cute. I mean,
and I know we've been talking a lot about stuff at Disneyland. Be fair to Florida. There is a small update. Walt Disney World, we know we're getting a replacement for Dinoland in Animal Kingdom. And it looks like we got a little glimpse of a model and some concept art that really looks like Encanto. Casa Madrigal is coming to what used to be Chester and Hester's Dinorama, I believe.
Yes, I'm going to be sad, but Red Dinosaur.
Countdown to Extinction. You can start counting down to the extinction of Dinosaur. But that one is going to be Indiana Jones, so it won't be that much different. Probably be the same ride track. And you just listen to the soundtrack and think you're still on Dinosaur.
Right.
also, there's been more rumors about the Beyond Big Thunder Mountain expansion coming to Magic Kingdom. We got an article linked to for that. So lots of exciting stuff coming in the coming months and years. from Disney Imagineering.
Yes, and we expect maybe this D23, since they're kind of going balls to the wall, that is when we'll finally know yep. some actual information.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Josh D'Amaro used, once again, the word turbocharge. That they must have focused grouped that word and decided that they are going to say turbocharge over and over again.
Oh God. That's like the new version of curated. It's like, if I hear the word curated one more time in messaging, marketing materials, every company uses it.
Unless you work in a museum.
Yes. Stop saying curated.
Right.
I do like turbocharge though. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Our next story is also a Disney story. And we are heading over to Epcot. We've talked about how we're finally seeing the end of construction walls, the completion of the transformation of Epcot. And one part of that is, as of March 31st, there is a new show in World Celebration at Epcot called Forces of Nature by Anti-Gravity. And if you've seen the art-defying gravity show, acrobatic show that they do during the Festival of the Arts, I think you have the general idea of what this is like. But it's the first scheduled show that we've had in this new Inspiration Garden right outside of what will very soon be the new Festival Center for Epcot.
Yes. And the cage just cracks me up because it looks like all the cages they use in like the naughty Halloween haunt event shows. Like, I don't know how I better say it. Like,
yeah. It's
naughty cage.
We're not going to say it looks like a stripper pole put it inside looks like a wheel of death, but this is a family podcast, yeah. So we won't say any of that. But what we will say is that this show is performed on Saturdays through Wednesdays only, and right now it's at 10:15, 11, 12. And then 1:10, 2:10, 3:10 p.m. So it ends mid-afternoon if you're interested in checking it out. The My Disney Experience app lists the latest show times. And this should stick around at least through June. And hopefully this will become a permanent spot. You know, I am always a big fan of street entertainment, yep. buskers, small live entertainments that... they really fill out your day. Instead of just going from e-ticket to e-ticket, it's nice to stop for a few minutes and just watch something and enjoy something without standing in a line. And I always think theme parks need more of that.
Absolutely. It just brings so much life to the park. And I feel like that's why I love Universal Studios Florida so much is because there's so much just like lively energy that's brought by the Blues Brothers or the Latin street dancers, you know, yep. and it's just, you need that to really make something not feel stagnant. So I love Absolutely. It. More entertainment is always a good thing. It means people are working. So win-win.
So if you're over at Epcot, head on over to the Inspiration Garden right outside of that very soon to open Festival Center and check that out.
Yes.
In other Epcot news, while you are at Epcot checking out that new show, make sure you get in your last laps on Test Track 2.0. Because the current version of Test Track is going away, closing on June 17th, and it will emerge at some date in the future. Who knows when exactly? And what will it be in the future? Well, it'll still be Test Track, but it will have a new spirit of optimism inspired by the original World of Motion.
Yes, I love that. But that
Are
line
you excited
also
about
me
this.
Up.
Yeah.
I love World of Motion and Horizons were two of my favorite, but it's funny, like
Absolutely.
We could have just kept World of Motion, but now we're going to do
right,
a new ride.
Right. We're going to
ride.
Is it,
but
this is,
you know what?
Is...
I'm not a car person. So I love the actual ride portion of Test Track. I don't like building the car. Like that just never did it for me. So yeah. I'm hoping we see that go bye-bye for something new.
Yeah. The current version of Test Track, just in case you are, I don't know, been hiding underneath a giant wheel for 30 years. As we say, it took over the old original World of Motion in Epcot. And it's now going to be going through its third version. Originally, it was this very, very, very 90s.
Test dummies.
Crash test dummy inspired, very industrial. And then we got Test Track 2.0, which was basically Tron Track. I feel like this version that we have right now was basically them trying out some special effects that they wanted to use on the Tron Light Cycle ride. Kind of, you know, it had some novelty at first, but I don't think anyone has a deep emotional connection to this version of Test Track. And as you mentioned, you know, the most notable thing that they changed for this version is putting the interactive pre-show where you build your own car. Here's a pro tip. If you don't want to build your car, first of all, single rider will get you past that.
And I've had my same car for like 10 years.
Right. Because if you design a car once, you can design a car once, keep it on your band, and you can skip that and just keep using that same one.
It's a great performance vehicle. Why would I change it up? You know?
And also, if you want to use a single rider, if you hate waiting, but you want to still design your car, you can do the car design thing in the post show. And attach it to your band and then have it and then go around and do single rider. So pro tip there. The thing I am most excited about is from the concept art, it looks like they are finally tearing down that very not aesthetic scaffolding. That canopy.
Ugly. Yeah, it's straight up ugly.
It basically looked like a concert lighting rig that looked like something you would put up temporarily and it's sat there forever. So they're stripping that away, and so you're going to be able to see more of the original building. It looks like there is going to be kind of a new rounded canopy over the entrance, but it looks a lot cleaner and sleeker. It's also going to have a new sign out front, but it's still going to be presented by Chevrolet. So that's the name of it. Looks like it's not going to change at all. This is happening, as we mentioned, that new Communicore Hall, the new festival center, that's opening up on June 10th, along with the Mickey and Friends meet and greet. We're going to have a week overlap while Communicore Hall is open and before Test Track closes.
So the Epcot transformation continues.
Yeah. And what exactly this new ride, as we said, there's no reopening date. There's no real description other than one piece of concept art that we got, which looks like the S-curve section that you go through just before you dodge the truck. Looks like it's been filled in with realistic looking trees and like a natural sunset looking lighting package. So getting away from the virtual industrial look that it's had before.
So. Good. I think I'm optimistic, and I think it's just because like I don't like have that personal attachment to Test Track 2.0. So I think I'm excited for what we will get, and also that we could see more of the show building because it is the World of Motion show building. So I feel like that will add to it.
If you want to relive the original World of Motion, we've got some great information on the history of the ride in this article. We've also got a side-by-side video comparing the original 1.0 Test Track with the 2.0, and I guess maybe someday we'll be able to do a three-way on this, with all three versions. And actually, I saw recently online someone's created a virtual recreation of the original World of Motion in Unreal Engine 5, and it looks really detailed. So Google that if you're into recreating old rides, and we'll just have to look forward to seeing what Test Track 3.0 has in store in the future.
Hopefully it won't take long, but you know.
I'm not counting on anything less than 18 months. Mm. I mean, if they're really going to strip out all the sets, I don't expect anything of the ride path to change or, you know, the basic mechanism of the ride, but to do all new sets and lighting and hopefully some animatronics, I'll give it a year and a half at least. So that's my guess.
Wow.
All right. Let's talk about a construction update at a place that probably wouldn't take 18 months to retheme. Sorry. Epic Universe over at Universal Orlando is going up faster than we can keep track of. And they've reached another construction milestone. They have placed a barrel and themed it over one of the iconic lift hill jumps that is going to be part of the new Donkey Kong Country minecart ride coming to Super Nintendo World. And it just looks great. It looks like something straight out of a video game.
It really does. Yeah. And I love that this sister attraction is opening in Universal Studios Japan first. So like, we're going to really get to see it's opening this spring. Yes. If you haven't been following, but we're going to get to see it like before it comes here, which is just a really cool thing, you know, to be like just a little bit behind, but we'll know everything.
Yeah. It's we'll have a little bit of deja vu as we see the opening in Japan. There are some minor differences between the two versions, which Alicia Stella over at Orlando Park Stop is detailed. But for the most parts, they're very close. And it is very exciting to see these massive. You can get a sense of the scale from this picture. See a crane here and then see the size of the barrel
it's
that you're going to go through. Yeah. As you mentioned, they are testing this out in Japan, and I found this video just posted 3 days ago from LCA Studios on YouTube. Check them out. Take a look at this.
Wow.
That's not a rendering. That is
right. And it's really neat. I can't, it looks really cool, from off ride, but I can't imagine what it's going to be like when you're on the ride and it really looks like you're leaping off the track because you're not going to be able to see the boom holding up the car while you're on the ride itself.
That is crazy. So like the boom is on the track, but it's holding you in the ride vehicle. And then it's like having the mechanism of that. Wow.
Yeah. The track that you can see here in this picture, that is a fake track. That is just decoration. Yeah. The real track is hidden sideways underneath all of this. And you see, and this is a spot where your car is going to seem to skim across the surface of the water. You can see, water filling in here, and then this will eventually be covered with a film of water to look like you're just skating across the top of it.
This is so cool.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And this is... while they're actively testing out in Japan, here in Orlando, they've already got at least one train on the track. And as you can see, it is really coming along with, not just construction, but theming, painting all throughout. Very exciting. Along with the whole rest of the Mushroom Kingdom, we can see a lot of props. Some of them under wraps. There's these very recognizable piranha plants that have big plastic tarps over them, but you can still see their colors poking through.
Yes, it's hard to hide.
Yeah. Of course, thanks as always to BioReconstruct for the amazing aerial photography that, you can see just how far this is coming along. And if you do want some more spoilers, we've got more information on the Japan version, which, as you said, is a little further along, to give you a sneak peek.
Yes. So excited.
Yep. It's all coming up very fast. And I would expect, we had that How to Train Your Dragon announcement. I would expect to get a Super Nintendo World announcement in, a matter of weeks, hopefully. We'll see.
Hopefully.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Not sure which one is up next, whether it'll be Super Nintendo or Dark Universe or Harry Potter. But I think by by the time we get to summer, I think we'll have all of this finally unveiled.
Right.
And speaking of Universal Orlando unveiling things,
so
they have unveiled the dates for Orlando's Halloween Horror Nights 2024, or Halloween Horror Nights 33, as we used to number it. But I noticed they're not using that 33 so much.
At least in the merch that we've seen so far,
But the big news is that this is the earliest that Halloween Horror Nights has ever opened, starting all the way on August 30th and running through November 3rd on select nights. It's going to be a big event.
Yes. So exciting. We're now in August, which is just so cool. And you also have to remember it is Labor Day weekend. So Labor Day weekend's like a little bit earlier this year. And it's usually historically opens that Friday of Labor Day weekend. So I think it makes sense that way, but
yep.
I'm ready. And you know, it's crazy. We still don't have one house announcement.
Okay. Yes. We don't have a house. We don't have an icon. We don't have
but we are
a
ready.
Theme.
Yeah.
What we do have is we know there will be 10 haunted houses. We know there will be 5 scare zones, and we know there will be at least one show. Mm-hmm. I've heard rumors of a second show, but I don't know if that's going to turn out or not. The 10 haunted houses is the same number of haunted houses as last year.
Yep.
As we've talked about, they've installed a couple new sprung tents, which some people thought maybe that would let them increase the number of houses. They also have space within the new VillainCon attraction that could be a haunted house. But 10 haunted houses staying at the same number means that we're going to lose some spaces that were previously used as haunted houses. Looks like that's the parade building that was, built to hold parades, but has spent more time holding haunted houses. Looks like with the new parade coming this summer, they're going to need that parade building back. So it's holding steady at 10 haunted houses, but starting earlier than ever. And ticket prices are also now starting at $83. That's the lowest one, but it is going to go up on those busy peak nights.
So that's like a Wednesday night. I was looking through the calendar. I mean, that's going to be the cheapest bet. You can't really tell what's going to be the busiest, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, Saturdays are busy, but I mean, mm-hmm. now it's always busy. So
yeah, there are busy nights and busier nights, but there are very rarely slow nights. And as you mentioned, the price changes based on the event date. This year, you're going to get 6 free months of the Peacock streaming service when you buy a ticket. So that'll let you catch up on stuff like Chucky, I guess, on the service. Though we don't know if Chucky will be part of the event this year.
Wait and see.
Multi-night tickets are not yet available. You cannot yet buy your frequent fear passes, but you can buy express passes. And those are starting at $130 and going up from there. Also, the RIP tours, which are honestly worth their weight in gold on a busy night.
We did one last year, my family, and it was like the best decision ever, because since we all have the passes that include mm-hmm. an HHN ticket, mm-hmm. we really just paid for the tour, which came to like a little over $300 per person.
Yeah.
Which this is fully private too. It wasn't like the group one, and it was mm-hmm. the best decision ever. We're looking at maybe doing it again. I mean, you just have to do it on like a Wednesday, which
right.
is the cheapest, or Thursday, which is like literally like a $30 difference overall. But mm-hmm. I cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah.
I think we did Stranger Things like 7 times.
Yeah, honestly,
you can get a group.
Honestly, like express passes. I know plenty of people who bought express passes and found that they were still waiting, you know, an hour for
right.
things, and didn't feel like the express pass was worth. I've never talked to anyone who got the VIP or the RIP tour and felt it wasn't worth it. If you can afford it, it's worth it.
Right.
But
and again, like it's not much more than buying a ticket and express.
Yeah. But this year it's going to start at $360 in addition to your admission price. And if you are so excited about Halloween, you cannot wait to get inside those houses.
Yeah.
This year you can get inside some of them 2 weeks before the event starts. August 11th, they are going to start doing their daytime backstage lights on tours, the behind the screams, Unmasking the Horror tours. Those are going to kick off significantly before the event this year. Those are going to start at $180 for a 6-house tour.
Yes, I think this is great, especially if maybe, you know, I know a lot of people, no matter their age, they haven't done it yet because maybe they're a little scared, they're nervous. This is a good way to see the houses, know what you're getting into, no actors. Mm-hmm. Or if you're just a nerd and want to see everything up close, which I love doing, also very cool.
Well, you know, I've always said, you know, having worked backstage at Halloween Horror Nights, I can't get scared by it anymore because my brain is just always thinking, okay, there should be an actor there, and then we need to tighten up the pulse here, and that light isn't working. You know, I'm always in stage manager brain. But I love being able to stop and look at all the detail that they put into these sets, and then they turn all the lights off so you can't see any of the amazing Easter eggs. So, in some ways, the lights on tours are almost more interesting than going with the actors. I should clarify, the tours that are starting on August 11th are only 3-house tours, and those are $100. If you want the 6-house tour, you're going to have to wait until August 31st before those kick off. So I guess the plan is they'll have 3 houses done well in advance of the event that they can take people through. And then maybe the others need a little more work before opening night.
Yeah. That is so exciting.
So that is very exciting. I am all for all of that, but we have to talk a little bit about merch. Merchandise is online. And like I said, we don't have an icon. We can't necessarily say this, the merch represents the theme, because sometimes the entertainment people who work on the actual creative side sometimes have a disconnect from the marketing merchandise people who come up with the products. So I don't know if this iconography is going to carry through, but I don't know how I feel about it. If you haven't seen it, look at it on our website or on their merchandise page. They've gone very bold with the color choices, which emphasize kind of safety cone orange and I don't know, fuchsia and zombie green. I don't know.
It's like Hot Topic 20 years ago.
It is seriously like early 90s Hot Topic is what.
Yeah, so 30 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of got this like spray painted. It very much gives me Steve Buscemi and Saved by the Bell, like, you know, what's up, kids kind of vibe. Like,
we're like trying... also like Myrtle Beach t-shirt shop.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bold choice. Either the kids are going to love it, or there's going to be a lot of shirts at the garage sale that they do at the end of the year.
You know what? I have no problem waiting for a $5 shirt.
Yeah. I don't. So right now you can pick up a steel tumbler for $27, a hat for $30, or an adult t-shirt for $33 with these new graphics. And you can find this stuff at the Five and Dime in the studios or the All Hollows boutique in Lost Continent at IOA. Or just go to shop.universalorlando.com and you can pick it up there.
If it's not your favorite, have no fear. There will be many more merchandise items.
But let us know your feelings on it. Yeah. If you really love it, tell us why. Let's move just down I-Drive over to SeaWorld Orlando. You know, Disney has their race events. Universal tried a race event once.
I bring it back, yeah.
Well, if now you're going to get your chance to run around SeaWorld Orlando because they have announced a fun run. And this is going to be held before the park opens on May 4th, 2024. You can sign up right now.
Yes, you know what? I think I kind of want to do this. 3 miles is a nice sweet spot.
Three miles is not bad. They quoted it as both 3 miles, and they also say it's 5 kilometers, which are not exactly the same thing. So I'm not sure, you know, I can't do metric. What do I know? But it's close enough. Somewhere between 3 miles and 5 kilometers. This is going to happen at 7 a.m. on May 4th. Sunrise is 6:42. So it should just be getting bright. And the park doesn't open to the public till 9 a.m. So you should have plenty of time to run the course. And it's going to start out in the parking lot. You're going to do a very nice scenic loop around their newly resurfaced parking lot. So you'll get to breathe in those, like, you know, asphalt fumes coming.
What a way to get your day going.
Tasty. And then you will head in. It looks like you're going to head in where they usually have us come in for press events over sort of near the wild Arctic and icebreaker area of the park. You're going to sort of loop counterclockwise past Sesame Street Land, Infinity Falls, go all the way across the north end of the park by the Dolphin Stadium, and then loop around back towards the Sky Tower. You're going to cross over the big bridge in the lake in the middle of the park. And it looks like you're going to end up at a post-race party near the Ports of Call event area. So it looks like a fun little run. If you've got little ones who like to race, they are going to have their own kids fun run inside Sesame Street Land at 8 a.m. And it's they can go either 50 yards or 200 yards. So, you know, less than a tenth of a mile.
Maybe I'll do that one.
Yes. Well, all participants in the kids run will receive a ribbon, but unfortunately you have to be 7 and under to participate.
No.
And if you can't make it to the park itself, there's also a virtual run that you can participate with at home and still get the medal and the t-shirt and the bib number and everything. So if you are interested in signing up for this, it's going to cost $55 if you're age 13 and up, $40 if you're 12 or under. That's the pre-sale price. It's going to increase as it gets closer to the race date. If the little ones, the kids run is only going to cost them $10, and virtual run costs $60. You do not get free admission to the park with this, but you can buy a discounted admission to stay in the park for only $40 for that day.
You know what? I'm loving all these prices that you're throwing. Loving it.
Trying to get through them as quick as possible. Sorry.
No, it's great because, you know, like,
it's, well, compared to what
doing Run Disney, because
I was going to say, compare what is Disney, does Disney charge for a 5K now? I feel like it's more than $55 for a 5K.
It's like the upwards of two the last time I checked. Yeah. And it's just, you know, I love spending money, but that is a lot of money to pay to torture yourself to get up at 3 a.m. So I like the time of this a lot. I like the price of this a lot. So,
well,
wonderful.
If you like to save even more money, if you happen to be the first among the first 200 people to register, they're giving out 5 free tasting credits for the food festival that this is tied to. And you can use those on that day or any time before the event ends on May 19th. We've got lots more information on our website about the Seven Seas Food Festival that's going on still, along with the concerts, as well as the 60th anniversary celebration that they kicked off, and the new stuff coming to the park later this spring, like Penguin Trek roller coaster. So find out all of that information on our website at attractionsmagazine.com. And I believe that just about brings us to the end of this week's news in the queue. Before we jump into the main attraction, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
The Attractions Podcast is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Whether your next vacation is a magical trip to the theme parks, an exciting adventure to the pyramids of Egypt, or just a relaxing cruise on the turquoise waters of the Bahamas, MEI Travel provides premium service and expert advice to help you get the most of your vacation. They are always free of any hidden fees or costs to you. Visit them at MEI-travel.com.
It's time for the main attraction!
And for this week's main attraction, we're heading to Hollywood. Universal Studios Hollywood is celebrating the iconic studio tour's 60th anniversary from April 26th through August 11th. And they have a few surprises in store. And I was not planning on making a trip back out there this summer, but I've got an annual pass and I think I might need to head out there and take advantage of it, because this looks like one of the best versions of the studio tour that they have done in a long time.
Yes, I will be there for opening, and I'm
jealous.
So excited. I've been awaiting for this announcement to come out. And, you know, we knew about the glamour tramps because they've been spotted, you know, the makeover to the vehicles. And now we have all the details on the 60th, and it's good. It's really good.
So Universal Studios actually offered walking tours of their studio way back in the silent era, but the kind of modern era of movie theme parks kicked off in 1964 when they introduced the tram tour. And they, for this 60th anniversary, have polished the tram tour, which had some parts that were looking a little worn, and have really shined it up, given it a diamond sheen, starting with the renovation of Earthquake, the big one. This is got a place in my heart because I really miss the Orlando version of the Earthquake ride. This the California version was looking very 70s in its kind of decor. You know, the special effects were still always fun, you know, the rumbling, the explosions, the train coming at you. But now they have given it a fresh new color scheme. They've kind of refinished the whole thing, so it all looks fresh and modern and new, but it still has the same special effects, just amped up a little bit. So we've got a great preview of that on our website, along with a preview, as you mentioned, of the glamour trams. And these are the classic red and white striped trams. They've kind of given a makeover to a select number of the current trams to make them look like the old ones. And they look great.
Yes. Oh, just like that font on the side of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everything.
Incidentally, designed by Bob Gurr, the legendary Disney designer of the monorails and Autopia and many others. So if you want to see a genuine original 1964 vintage glamour tram, you are going to get to do that on the studio tour when you get off the tram. This is something that has generally been reserved for either VIP tours or the terror tram that they do during Halloween. This is a rare opportunity for daytime studio tour guests to get off the tram, walk past the Bates Motel, and walk through the War of the Worlds set, which it's an amazing experience. If you've only been able to drive through those, if you've never been able to walk through, worth doing just for that.
Oh, yeah. And I believe also, so if you're familiar with the path of it now, like you go past Bates Motel, you turn a corner up a grassy knoll and go to the Psycho House. Mm-hmm. That grassy knoll is where they're going to have the exact scaled replica of the Hollywood sign.
Yes. The vintage Hollywood sign. You can't really get close to the one in real life.
No.
But you will be able to get close to a 10-foot tall replica of it and get pictures of it. Other photo ops along the tour, they're putting an original Back to the Future DeLorean picture car outside of Courthouse Square as you drive past, and there'll be a Doc Brown character out there with it. The Runaway Train, which was part of the tour back in 1976, it's no longer running away, but it is going to be parked near the collapsing bridge outside the King Kong 360 entrance. And it's going to have warning bells and signs like it used to back in the day. And they dug this giant T-Rex statue out of storage that they had used to promote the first Jurassic World movie. And that he's going to be hiding in the woods near the dinosaurs that spit at you during the tram tour.
Yes.
So a lot of fun new additions.
I wish they were bringing Parting of the Red Sea back.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. I do not know what the status of that mechanism that used to allow that. I got to see that once, maybe the first time that I visited, and never again. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if I would trust that anymore if it was still.
Yeah, it seems like a biatch to maintain.
For the 60th anniversary, of course, they have plenty of retro themed food, beverages, and merchandise that looks just adorably mod.
Yes, we have to talk about the pretzel. There's a 60 pretzel.
Yes, in the shape of the number 60.
So cool. I mean, it's like an elite pretzel. They're also transforming City Shop Snacks on the upper lot. If you're familiar, like right around Mel, they're going to be like a glamour tram.
Yes. Very cool. There are also going to be some special throwback menu items at Hollywood and Dine, Mel's Diner, and Studio Scoops. I think the e-ticket snack here is going to be the popcorn bucket shaped like a glamour tram. You want to try a bunch of this special anniversary food, you can get a special dining pass that'll let you have 6 menu items. You get 2 entrees, 4 snacks, sides, desserts, or beverages at participating locations. The only trick is that it's not good on any alcohol, and you have to use it the day you buy it, so you can't spread it out over multiple days.
You'll be eating well that day.
Yes, for sure, for sure. We've got a link to a video with details of all of the 60th anniversary fun that starts on April 26th. And as always, if you want to take a trip out there, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel can help you plan it. I'm very jealous. I want to hear all about it.
I cannot wait. I will be buying all the merch. It's so good.
I've been so buried in my writing, I haven't really had time to plan, but I keep getting emails from Breeze about cheap flights from Orlando. So maybe that's a sign.
Yes. At least it runs for a good amount of time. So
yes, you have until August 11th to check it out. And yeah, I've got a USH annual pass burning a hole in my pocket. Might have to take advantage of that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that is going to just about bring us to the end of our show. Before we go, we want to take a look at some of the comments that you left us. We got quite a few, so we'll jump through them. Magic City Mayhem is very impressed by the articulate animatronics and points out that those little BD units look like Wally with legs. Absolutely. Brian Sager is wondering if the punk rock theme for the Halloween Horror Nights merchandise is a potential tie-in for this year. Says he's heard rumors for either Ghostbusters or The Weeknd. So we shall see. Magic City Mayhem also pointing out that they offered free Peacock last year with Halloween Horror Night tickets, but says it was a pain to redeem for a lot of people. I did not try that, so that was good to know. And he says the 33 for HHN 33 is in the price of the shirt. good one. Eric O is pointing out that I made a mistake. It is not Bob Gurr who designed the glamour trans. It is Harper Goff. I'm sorry. I mixed up my Disney legends. I thought Bob worked on King Kong.
He did King Kong. He created the animatronic. I'm
so sorry. I apologize, Bob and Harper, for mixing you up. You're both legends. The parting of the Red Seas was poured as a parking lot and sound stages.
That's progress.
Oh, well. The 60th anniversary merchandise dropped this morning, so you can probably find that in the parks and on their website right now. Thank you to all of you who commented. Before we go, one last thank you to our sponsors, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. A thank you to all of you who like and subscribe to us on YouTube, or give us a rating or review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you listen to us. Please be sure to follow us at attractionsmagazine.com and search Attractions Magazine on whatever social media platform you're using these days. Carly, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
Yes, I am on Instagram at Adventures by Carly and on X at Carly Caramata.
And you can find me at Skubersky, at The Unofficial Guides, and you can purchase my books at theunofficialguides.com. And until next week, we hope you folks stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun. And we will see you again next time. Bye.
Bye.